You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, with all the hideous weather, winter weather across the country, what do you do if you're getting cabin fever and the kids are getting on your nerves? We have solutions. Plus, you'll hear from a woman who says, "Goodbye, cruel world. I'm headed to Mars with a handful of total strangers." And what do you say? Is baseball too slow? Should the MLB speed it up? Let's meet the friends. Looking above and below ground for stories you care about, it's Aaron Myers.
Yeah, there is a Canadian mystery, a tunnel found near a college where they're going to be holding a big sporting event this summer, and it has the police baffled. I'll tell you why.
And he puts the O in LOL. Chris Martin is here.
Phil, it seems no matter how hard we try to be politically correct these days, things are certain to go wrong.
What? Okay, good. I don't know what that's about, but we'll find out. We'll get things started now. Aaron, this is a mystery in Canada, huh? It has some authorities concerned,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes. Toronto police, they are actually saying they're baffled because last month they found this tunnel near York University, and it was very sophisticated. So today they've asked the public for help because they don't know who dug this tunnel, and it is going towards this university where they're going to be holding the Pan Am Games this summer. So they're not sure, is this terrorism? Is this somebody's bunker?
Wow. Now, how sophisticated? What, does it have, like, air conditioning?
I mean, it was pretty...
parquet walls?
Nice. Not that fancy, but, you know, tall enough for, you know, a man of 6'4" to stand, and it's about 2 feet by 10 feet wide, 33 feet long. They found light bulbs that are moisture resistant, a pulley system to move dirt, gas container, gloves, wheelbarrow, and a generator that apparently, you know, had a function that makes it quiet.
A quiet generator.
So they just don't know what this is and why it's there. And they're asking for people's help because they don't know who did it. And they want to make sure it's not anything nefarious.
It's spies.
Yeah.
Sounds like something. Sounds like something the fraternity probably put together. They have something going on. You said it was going towards a college.
That's quite a prank.
You think fraternity guys are that smart, really?
No. I don't. They're smart enough to be able to dig a hole in the ground.
Engineering students.
But this is a nicely dug, sophisticated hole in the ground. Like, you know, not just like, let's, you know, use a shovel.
KGB. Is that who it is?
I don't know. They're asking for help trying to find out,
Chinese?
Though. Yeah, trying to find out because it's going towards that stadium area where they're going to have sporting events. And, I mean, they filled it up now, so you can't use it.
But. Yeah. All right.
Oh, they buried it? All that work for nothing?
Yeah. They did enough of their investigation.
Darn.
They have all their evidence, so now they want to try
you
to find out.
You would think it would be
it.
Useful.
Yeah. You know, the tunnel's there. You've already built it. You know, you've put all this time and effort into
it. Put it to good use.
Right.
Deliver.
Figure out something for it.
Deliver hot dogs and popcorn and so on to the stadium.
Right, yeah.
Shortcut. Get around the traffic. They don't have, in those Pan Am games, they don't have dancing.
No dancing, I don't think.
Nope.
But I do have another mystery for you.
What's that?
Why is it called Dancing with the Stars when most of them aren't stars anymore?
No, really?
I'm just kidding.
Did they come out with a new...
They did. They came out with a new list of people for
of
season 20. And there's a few that you go, oh, yeah, like Suzanne Summers, Patti LaBelle, Michael Sam, the football player, and then Nastia Lukin, the Olympic gymnast. But then there's...
Well, Michael Sam's not a football player.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, okay.
He's
going
to be a dancer
Nastia
now.
Wins, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think
it's
so.
It's not fair.
But there are some people who I go, well, maybe I might recognize them. Robert Herjavec.
Who?
From Shark Tank.
That guy.
Willow Shields from the Hunger Games movies. Rumor Willis, you know, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis's daughter.
Yeah.
Redfu, Riker Lynch. And then the kind of cool thing is they do have this U.S. Army veteran who's going to be competing.
Who's Redfu?
He's a musician, singer.
LMFAO, man. Don't you remember that guy? That song? It's one of the biggest songs
in the nation.
He's
the party rock anthem guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's him.
So he's in there,
big
too.
Big old fro.
Yeah.
And for all the men, there is Charlotte McKinney, the woman from the Carl's Jr. ad that was covering her tatas. Burgers were covering her.
Oh, that's her?
Yeah, she'll be in it, too. But I do like the Army veteran who lost his arm above the elbow and leg above the knee in an IED attack, that he will be out there, too. So that's kind of
cool.
Fantastic. Sounds like Susan Summers is the biggest name out of all of those, though, right?
Patti LaBelle's pretty big, too. But, you know, they start with a couple, and then it just goes, okay, who? Huh? What?
Yeah.
So it should be like Dancing with the People I may recognize, possibly, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
show.
All right.
Do you know which guy gets to dance with the girl from the Carl's Jr. commercial?
Oh, no, I do not.
I wonder if it does. Yeah, that guy, Derek Huff, he gets all the babes, doesn't he?
He's with Nastia Lukin. I do know that.
Right, all right.
Yeah, he'll be dancing with the gymnast, so
then he
wins.
That's the winning crew right there. Because he has a pretty good record.
Yeah, he does well.
Right.
So
I wonder how they do that. Do they draw straws as the dancers, the professional dancers?
It's so good.
To see who
planned.
They get?
Yeah, the
so
producers put it together based on who the cast is, I would imagine. And trying to mix things up so you're not always sticking the same couples together, the same types of personalities together.
Yeah, right. And they always get the Russian dancer guy. He gets out early, so he'll get the Carl's Jr. babe.
Yeah, this time whoever got out early last time, I imagine, will get the advantage with the more athletic celebrities this time.
Yeah, and then there'll be all the rumors about, sex copades.
Yeah, well, they'll
during
have to
rehearsals.
Be careful with her costumes, the Carl's Jr. girl. Like, they're going to have to, tape her in or something.
Tape her?
Yeah. Binder somehow.
Binder.
Like an ace bandage.
All right.
Because that could be...
Thought there was a taper loose. It was the Animal Planet all of a sudden. All right, let's see. What else, Aaron? While we're talking about stuff popping out all over the place, is 50 Shades of Grey for an actress or an actor, is it detrimental to your love life, your real love life?
Well, it may be, because there's a report out right now that the actor Jamie Dornan, who plays Christian Grey, will most likely be stepping down and not doing the second movie or third movie if those happen, because apparently his wife doesn't like the explicit sex scenes in the film, and it makes her a little probably jealous and uncomfortable.
Huh.
So
I wonder if they have the what about the paycheck, honey? Conversation.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, when the movie's done really well, so you would think, okay, look, it's going to benefit us in the future.
What
but
movie doesn't have a
doesn't
sex
like
scene
that.
Of some sort in it these days, anyway? But it's not the 50 Shades of Grey sex scenes.
No.
So that's what she had a problem with?
I guess so. And she's an actress, so you would think she would get it. At least that's what I've heard. She's an actress as well.
Right. So if he's in a movie with Halle Berry, for instance, and you know, they're probably going to have like a little love scene, right? Or if she's in a movie with, I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio, there's probably going to be a love scene, right?
That's just part of the business. That's what they do.
Which now she's going to sign up for that movie to get back at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
but
like
there won't
a revenge
be
movie.
There won't be spanking benches or handcuffs or anything like that.
No, I guess not. So
so that was the tipping point.
Yeah, apparently,
so to speak.
So we'll see what happens.
All right.
With that.
Okay, good, Chris. Let's move along. And what I think is interesting. Every time I meet people my age and older, and they say, "Hey, I just finally got Facebook." And I finally got an iPhone. Oh, yeah, really? Okay. Tip number one, go easy on the emojis.
Right, yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
I still don't even know how to use those.
Yeah, well, it's probably a good idea because the kids know, all right, old guy, old lady. So that's the clue right there. But emojis are in the news, right?
Yeah, and they are becoming easier.
And what
to
are
use.
They again for the old folks who are listening right now and don't know what they are?
Well, an emoji is like an emoticon, I guess is another way to put it, where you use a symbol to represent a word or a state of
Break it down
being.
To the basic, like a smiley
so
face.
So a smiley face would mean you're doing happy. A winky face would mean, you know, you have some inflection behind it. A sad face would mean you're sad about whatever you're talking
about. And rather
about.
Than just using the keys on the keyboard to create something like that, they've animated them into cute little characters.
And you can imagine back in the day when you had the smiley face, the round smiley face smiling with the two dots for eyes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what they use. That's the original concept, and then they span from there. And Apple iPhone has released their new operating system yesterday, and it includes 300 new emojis. Whoa. And their emojis include 6 variations for skin tone and race.
Really?
Yeah.
Ethnically diverse emojis?
That's right.
Like
ethnically
what?
Ethnically diverse emojis. Well, they have 6 different types, and they describes the skin tone. Like there's what shade of skin they are, whether or not this shade of skin burns easily. It describes what type of hair color might be associated with this skin tone. Also eye color, you know, so more dark complexion. Dark hair means you're probably going to have dark eyes.
Yeah.
They describe these 6 different types.
So like a sociological study of emoji life in ethnicity.
Yeah, and they look across the planet and they say, okay, there's basically 6 different types of skin color. And
is it possible that this study could go very, very wrong?
I would think so.
Well, it kind of did, because one of the 6 different types of skin tone is yellow. There's a yellow skin tone for the emojis.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that one?
It's funny that you bring that up. The
Hepatitis.
Opposers say that Apple's attempt at multicultural inclusion has backfired, social media jumping in and saying, what, yellow for what? The Simpsons? Maybe people with jaundice?
Yeah, uh-huh. Right.
I don't understand where the yellow skins come from. Now, here's what Apple says, and I think we need to hear them out. Apple says, look, the yellow color has nothing to do with race. The yellow emoji is actually a generic default. It means neutral. It's the standard color for emojis since the days of AOL. And if you think about it, all emojis up to this point have been yellow, have
well,
they not?
Well, good answer.
Yeah.
Is it going to fly, though? So in the context of the ethnicity thing.
It doesn't
the thing.
Work,
and they
yeah.
made the faces more human-like. So there's hair on the faces. There's
okay.
a color to the
so
eyes.
So the yellow one doesn't look Asian?
No, it does not. It has the same eye shape and skin shape
just
as
checking.
The rest of the
emoji. Just checking. You know, that's the question everybody wants to know.
No, the wow. only the faces are all the same. The only thing that changes is hair color, eye color, skin tone. Uh-huh. One of the skin tones being yellow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or do they have
so
a green?
So you can't win.
Do they have a green one?
All these guys are trying to do, and you know, in their heart of hearts, they may have
well.
The best intentions of being multicultural. And
yeah.
sure enough,
yeah.
somebody's going to complain.
How about that? Yeah, people just sit on their lazy boy, and it's the dynamic in their life to be offended by something.
Right.
Yeah.
It really is. Hey, you know what else is offensive?
No.
Football players, good-looking, cute,
yes.
cute football players.
Yes, they are offensive to
going into acting.
That's even more offensive.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do now.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports... Speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you. Visit our website, will you? Come on. What's the matter with you? It's philhewlettandfriends.com. Everybody goes there. Why not just follow the crowd? You know? Why in the world do you have to be a singular light out there in a sea of lights? Just follow the flow. Go to the website. You'll be pleased. You'll be pleasantly pleased. How do I sound? Like I got a head cold?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine trying to do a hockey game with his voice.
Oh, I'm surprised you still have one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I used it a little bit last night.
So it's not a full-blown cold or fever or anything like that? It's sort of just allergies kicking
well,
in?
Well, you know, I don't have a good attitude about it, but I do feel like crap, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you don't want to know how you look then. I'm teasing.
Come on. All right, while we're talking about good-looking folks, Gisele Bündchen. Nice-looking lady.
Sure.
And Tom Brady, her husband, the football-playing dude.
Oh, yeah.
He's done deflating balls for the New England Patriots, and he wants to pursue... acting.
No.
An insider tells Star magazine, quote, at 37, Tom knows he only has a few seasons left before retirement. He's thinking ahead and believes he would become a huge movie star. At this point, Tom has only done a few commercials and made a few minor movie cameos, mostly playing himself. He's in the upcoming Entourage movie and Ted 2, and also did an amusing Funny or Die bit a few years back. So he's got some comedic timing.
Is it real comedic timing, or is it just let's put him in and then we can laugh at him because he's so bad?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
That's what I'm hoping.
I think he fits in well with the guys that do the things on Funny or Die, or like Saturday Night Live, maybe even a Ted movie, things like that. I think he fits in well with something's written for him.
You think Gisele came up with this idea?
I think
she's pushing him because she's like I'm a supermodel. I can only be a supermodel for a few more years, and then I'm going to have to start making furniture and design clothing for Kohl's.
Which I would not buy any of them.
No?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
It is an odd pick, I think. He doesn't strike me as the type of person that'd be a great actor.
No.
Well, here's what people are saying. Supposedly, Gisele Bündchen is not too thrilled with the idea because she doesn't like the thought that Tom would be hanging out with a bunch of hot actresses.
Oh, maybe I do like it better then.
Huh? You want to break them up.
I'm just stirring the pot, causing some trouble here.
Yeah. All right. You know, it's coming upon baseball season, the great American pastime. And, you know, you buy a ticket for $50 these days, you know, and the parking and the popcorn and the hot dog and the beer. Now you're in for like $100. And you want to sit in the park for a while and just enjoy yourself. But MLB keeps talking about speeding up the game. It seems like they revisit this every season. And, Chris, what are they looking at doing now?
They're looking at a handful of things. Bud Selig, the old commissioner, actually put together a group of people that were going to review how to make baseball move quicker. Because the truth is, Phil, back in 1981, the average time of a baseball game was 2 hours and 33 minutes.
Just fine with me.
The average today, 3 hours and 2 minutes. So
yeah.
Somewhere along the line, 30 minutes have been added to
Yeah, and that's after all the efforts to speed up the game.
You're right. Yeah, interestingly enough.
You know, one thing that they do is they time the breaks. When they go to commercial, they have a minute 40 exactly, and the timer starts the moment the third out happens. And when a minute 40 hits, the public address announcer, who from time to time is me over at one of the local team's arenas, jumps on the mic and introduces the next player at bat. And it happens like clockwork, and it has to happen. You can't just kind of wait whenever. When a new batter comes in from the bullpen, there are specific rules about how long he has to warm up before he throws his first pitch. And all of those things, they're micromanaged, and there are other elements of the game as well. But it's gotten longer since they added those.
And they're being micromanaged a little bit more, too, because that minute and 40 you were talking about has now been reduced to a minute and 25 seconds.
But that's less
it's nationally
less commercial
game.
Time.
Yeah, it's still more
That's
still baseball
the other
time,
thing.
Though.
You have to fit in your commercials, and that's what they're trying to do is speed up the pace of play so more people will watch so they can sell more advertising revenue. Everybody makes more money. That's what it's all about. Here's some of the changes that they've made recently. Hitters now have to keep 1 foot in the batter's box at all times. No stepping out, you know, readjusting your gloves, checking your pants, taking a couple of practice.
That's not good for the OCD players.
It's going to be a problem.
They have their ritual, yeah.
There's going to be a time limit for between inning breaks. Phil, that's what you were talking about, a minute and 25 seconds. Nationally televised games a little bit longer. There's going to be timed pitching changes. You know, those did seem a little bit slow. The guy running out of the...
Oh, there's some players.
They take their time.
They jog in from the bullpen. Others, they just kind of walk.
Sauntering in from the outfield and then taking 45 practice throws.
Yeah. All right.
So there's going to be changes to challenging and instant replay process. All that, we'll see if they can't reduce it. As of right now, baseball for the last couple of years has been the least viewed of the big four sports.
Really?
Yeah, that being baseball, football,
even
hockey,
in the playoffs?
And so,
just overall.
Just overall. Overall TV ratings. Baseball is now being beat by hockey.
Wow. Well, see, hockey's always moving, and baseball, when you watch it on TV, it can be a little slow.
And that'd be football number one, basketball number two. Used to be baseball at number three, but now that's hockey.
That's amazing. I'm impressed that hockey has really come up like that. I think it has something to do with the West Coast hockey teams. Really.
Big time. And a couple of big finales the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Making it exciting.
How about that? You know what? You know where piggy banks come from?
No,
you have a piggy bank? No, you don't have one?
I used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're named after pig, which is spelled P-Y-G-G. It's an orange clay that people used to make pots out of and jars as well in the Middle Ages. And when they had extra coins in the parts of the world in the Middle Ages where they had coins, they put them in the pig pot, P-Y-G-G.
Oh, interesting.
That's where piggy bank comes from.
I definitely learned something new right there.
I did not know that. Is that what you're saying? All right. Another thing we did not know is that the Girl Scouts are on a technology move right now. They're bringing new digital, high-quality, energetic ideas to the table. And what are they doing?
Very exciting. They're introducing a Girl Scout cookie oven. So you can actually make your own Girl Scout cookies at home. It's very exciting.
Are you there, Chris?
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
My favorite ones, those Samoa coconut caramel ones, you can make them now.
Really?
And it's a little expensive, but it's going to think... Well, it doesn't say how much the actual oven... Oh, no, it does. $60.
That's
around
nothing.
$60.
It pays for itself in a weekend.
It's the cookies. The refills are a little expensive. $6.99 to $14.99 for refill packs. But you can use them all year instead of only once a year where you get your cookies.
Like
from
cookie dough, you know, one of those rolls and you just kind of squish it out
it
under the pan.
It kind of looks like, But you know what? It's hard to tell. It could actually be... No, it looks like you have to mix it. Possibly.
So they're giving you the ingredients for the cookies, these trademark secrets. They're selling them to little kids so they can bake them in small
quantities. So is this like an Easy Bake Oven where it's got the little light bulb inside
there? It kind of looks like it a little bit, yeah. But it's green because for Girl Scouts. But well, I'm very excited about
this. Wasn't the Easy Bake Oven green or was it yellow? I'm just trying to remember.
Did you have one?
We have one, yeah, and in the original box. But it's the box is shredded, but the oven itself is in good shape. And I'm pretty sure it's green. From the early 1960s. My wife, Remy, one of her toys.
Now this is
don't know if it works.
One.
We haven't fired it up, but now I'm curious. I could sure go for one of them Easy Bake Oven cakes.
They're pretty fun.
You just solved my problem for what to get my 7- and 9-year-old cousin.
Girl Scout cookie oven?
That's right, for their birthdays.
Yes, I think there's adults who would want this too, though.
Yeah, wow. All right. We were talking about football, and what's his name? Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You know, he won the lottery, really. He got the supermodel and all that, and he got into the Super Bowl, and, you know, he's doing well. You know how rare it is to do well in football? 1.09 million kids play high school football. 70,000 go on to play college football. About 600 make it to the NFL. And about 150 play at least 4 years once they get in.
150 out of 1.1 million.
Yeah. Right.
End up making a career out of it.
Mm-hmm. Have a backup plan.
Yeah. All right. Life here on Earth, it could get pretty hairy, right? Taxes, unemployment, relationship problems, legal problems. You're a fan of the Knicks. Would you just like to get away, as the TV commercial says? Well, it's coming down to the wire to find out who will make good on getting away, far away, all the way to Mars, and start a human colony there. This is real. And we speak with one of the candidates next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, we're back. And we're headed out to space. Literally headed out to space. How about that, huh? Maybe you heard about this search, a casting call for possibly the greatest reality show concept ever. Actually, this is not a show. But it is reality in a science fiction turned fact sort of way. More than 200,000 people, 200,000 people applied to be the first humans on Mars. And the selection process is winding down. And joining us live is one of the candidates for the Mars One project, Jamie Del Rosario. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Just wonderful. Even better now that you're here. Now, this is fascinating and very cool, but it is also truly insane. You know this, right?
Yes, it is. Very insane.
I mean, when you go to Mars, you're all in. There's no turning back.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can't divorce the red planet once you're there.
No, all right.
Bye.
Yeah. So how old a woman are you?
Excuse me?
How old a woman are you?
27.
27. And this thing takes off when? About 10 years from now?
10 years from now, yes. That's the goal right now.
Yeah, okay. Just a little background on this. And we're trying to get into your head a little bit. What drew you to this? Because 200,000 people were interested in this, but nobody in this room applied. And we're trying to figure out the makeup of somebody who's interested in just getting away permanently. Is it the pioneer spirit or is it something else?
Well, actually, Phil... When I mean, my background, I worked in the aerospace industry, and just the drive of all the with, such as the engineers, and also I have my own company, and I sell materials to aerospace, space, and defense. So just watching the whole process of it from beginning to the end phase of the whole, you know, from fabrication to the end finish, it really gives me the drive to, hey, why not? Just space I believe it is the next step for the humanity.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really fun, exciting, you know, program to sign up for.
Yeah, so you are. You're a pioneer. You're an explorer. And Elon Musk and others have said if we are going to survive as a human race, we're going to have to colonize other planets for sure. And so this is essentially what's happening. I mean, but this is... going to be the rest of your lifetime. You're going to arrive, I don't know, what's it take, 6, 7, 9 months to get there, depending on
6 to 7 months.
Yeah. So you'll be 37 plus when you get there, and you're going to be gone forever. How's your family dealing with the possibility of you leaving forever?
Well, they think I'm crazy. I'm a lunatic.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But no, I mean, they of course, no matter what, they will support me and, of course, love me.
Yeah.
Can't disown me, right?
Yeah. Well, can you send texts or emails back and forth from Mars?
Yeah. Yes. Right now, yes, we can actually. It's gonna be there's a satellite that would probably a 7-minute gap.
Yeah.
Better than 20 minutes gap.
Uh huh.
So there's
So who gets to drive the bus?
The bus, the rover's there?
No. From here to there, somebody's got to be behind the wheels of the spaceship that gets you to Mars, right?
Yes, that is not Mars One has not said anything about that, and they have not.
I think I'd want to. If I were you, I'd want to check out the credentials of the driver just to make sure.
See if they have a valid license.
Yeah, valid license.
Definitely.
Background check.
How many people are going?
There's going to be it's 4 at a time every 2 years, and right now there's 100 finalists that made the cut, and they're going to eliminate down to 24.
And so do you know what phase you're in? Do you know if you're the first group, second group?
No, not yet. They have not confirmed that. We're going to have to train for 7 years, and after the 24 are selected, we're going to go to the Mars outposts that are located here on Earth, and they're going to
learn how to live without oxygen, right?
Exactly, and make sure that everybody gets along, because this is a lifetime. And
right. Well, what happens if you don't get along with the other three people on your team?
Exactly. You cannot just, isolate yourself away from each other.
Or here's another scenario. Here's another scenario for you. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're the second team, okay?
Yes.
And the first team's been up there for a year or whatever, Jamie, and they don't get along at all. They're not having a good time. No, there's no romance, nothing. Okay, and here comes the new blood.
Yes,
you know, and all of a sudden,
2 years later, too, you know.
Yeah, they can't wait to see you guys, right? And then it's party on Mars.
What are you guys? Oh, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to ask if there was an eject button. Is there a way to say, look, I just can't do this anymore. You got to get me home. Can you come back on the next flight?
No, like the one that maybe Virgin Galactic when they orbit Mars. Branson, pick me up. No, it's actually, that's why there's a 7 years training. They want to make sure psychologically that you are prepared for this.
So are you a married woman? Do you have any babies? Do you plan to get married? Do you have any romance here or anything like that?
I have a boyfriend here. We're both from Long Beach, California.
Oh, okay.
Local, so, he's very supportive, too.
But he's not going.
He's not going, but when he met me, I already signed up.
But he knows that the likelihood is that you will take on with a Mars Pioneer man, and you will raise Martian babies, right?
Right. I'm like, sorry, darling.
And then what do you do once you get there? Like, what is the plan of when you are there? What is the daily life going to be?
Guessing a lot of Monopoly video games.
No, they got to build stuff, right? Don't you have to build things?
Yes, so it's going to be consist of a lot of research and development, and definitely, planting, making sure that we have a greenery inside the capsule, of course. So we have to make sure that we survive,
because
we're going to only have limited supplies.
Well, see, assuming you land successfully, and your supplies are intact, and you're able to build a sustainable life there on Mars.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How do you see it going? Will there be a government? I mean, who's in charge of keeping the peace? Should there be any kind of infighting?
I am sure that will be discussed when we go on a training. Because, like I said, there's only 4 at a time. So we have to make sure that, first of all, our personality, that we will support each other, all the teams. And I think that's the key. Then from there on, we can discuss basically how the rules and that will apply when we're there, because there's no law.
Yeah, exactly, and it'll be interesting. I bet there will be law eventually, because you guys thinking people, you're all smart, no doubt, and you'll come up with some way to do that. But also, I'm thinking, and this is where the movie plot comes in. There's always the one guy,
right?
There's the one guy who's really getting away from something that we're not clear on, and somehow he's hidden it from the entire group of people that put this whole program together. And so when he gets up there, his plan is to take advantage and take over.
Yeah, you're talking about the Steve Buscemi character. There's one in every one of these.
Exactly.
Okay.
It might be a really. That's in a movie. You know, that's the plot, right?
Yeah. Will you be armed?
That is something that we should definitely.
Have you discussed it? Really?
No, we have not discussed that with Mars One. Mars One has not confirmed that.
I mean, we don't know for sure that there aren't creatures on Mars. We found the ice and all of that on Mars so far.
Yes, well, definitely there's going to be a lot of risk and challenges, mm-hmm. making sure that we are safe when once we land, and those will be discussed during training.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of us, all candidates, we all have questions.
All right, so 7 months on the spaceship.
Yes.
That in itself, I mean, yes. I'm thinking you're just going to be in a chair most of the time, right?
Yes, and there's also a speculation that we might, you know, be put to sleep and during the transit orbit, the transit time.
Oh, really?
So, which probably would be more...
like an induced coma? Put to sleep?
In movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then, you know, of course, you have limited supplies. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to definitely take light, you know, things to, light stuff to...
I tell you, you are a brave woman, braver than I... But I'm glad that this
is
happening.
Brave.
Well, I agree. And this is fascinating. I mean, the fact that it is happening is something else. And we're here not too far from where you are here in the studio. So you're our home girl in space. And we'd love to follow up with you as the time gets closer. We'll be here forever doing the show until you know, Mars blows up. And then, no, it's not going to blow up. But just the same, as you get closer, like a couple of years from now, 5 years from now, and you're getting ready to blast off in 10 years, will you remember my name, Phil Hewlett, and then just give me a call and say bon voyage?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. I will party with you guys before I go.
Good, yeah. Don't invite that good-for-nothing boyfriend of yours. Won't even go to Mars with you. What's the matter with him?
Right. There's always a, you could always apply. It's opening already.
Oh, really?
Open application.
So we can still get in. The application process is still open. We can still go to Mars.
Chris, no rules.
I'll give it a run.
Ladies who want to, you know, reproduce.
Is there an age restriction? Like, you're 27 now. That's going to put you in your mid-30s by the time you guys take off. Is there an age restriction?
It just says 18 and over. So
18 and over.
You got to have the crotchety old guy.
Of course, there's a medical requirement in the second round. That's what we had to do. All of us had to go through. Exactly. Physical requirement, and you have to pass it. So,
Seasickness okay? You don't have any problems with motion sickness, anything like that?
No problems at all.
Yeah.
Just leaving Earth. You know, I'll miss Earth, definitely, you know, but it doesn't discourage me from going.
Yeah. All right. You're the ultimate expat.
Thank you.
We're impressed. All right. Nice talking with you. Good luck. Jamie Del Rosario from Long Beach, California.
Hi.
One of the finalists to go up on Mars One and colonize another planet.
That's crazy.
On behalf of human beings. Thank you, Jamie.
Have fun.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Is that something?
Yeah, that's something, all right.
It should be a reality show, though, like the whole process of them training and everything.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure there will be footage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
I'd
articles
watch that.
Written. There will be coverage of it.
Yeah, I think it would make a good reality show, wouldn't it? Well, so much for, probably a lot of people in the United States right now would like to get away. Just get out of their house because we've been covered in one of the worst winters in a long time. Snow and ice and rain, mudslides, depending where you are. That's one story. But what happens when you're stuck in your home for extended periods of time and you have small children at home and they just want to get outside and play and they're getting on your nerves, right? Well, our innovative play expert joins us live to talk about cabin fever next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, by the way, there's the trailer for the Mars One mission is on the show fun page. There's a video trailer, and you can watch it. It's actually very cool. And a link to Mars One, if, as our guest pointed out, you could still sign up. The link to all of that is on our links page. Just look for Mars One Project. So if you live in a portion of the U.S. where the weather has just been fine. Good for you. But there are people all over the country from coast to coast who are more or less stuck in their homes during what is turning out to be a pretty brutal winter. Paige Olson, our friend who's been on the show a number of times, is the founder of Innovative Play for Kids. There's a link to her website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com, and she's here to talk to us about cabin fever and your kids. It just sounds delightful, doesn't it? I imagine folks in Montana and North Dakota and maybe Duluth deal with this pretty routinely every winter, but a whole lot of big city people are wrestling with what to do when you're cooped up in the house and your kids won't stop whining about going outside. So where do we start, Paige?
Well, I think the first place we have to start is to understand that when we're all in close quarters for a long period of time, it can ruffle anybody's feathers.
Sure.
You know, we like our space. We like our, you know, we all have that space around us that is our personal space. And when it's collapsed in for a long period of time, I think we all lose our minds.
Yeah, and kids pick up on the cues from their parents. There's pressure on the parents coming from both sides, because if they can't get to work for a prolonged period of time, you know, it could affect other things like food on the table. And you know, mom and dad don't feel comfortable making noise in the bedroom with the kids hanging out anyway, too. Right?
Well, yeah, I've heard. No, I'm kidding.
It can happen.
Just takes all the fun out of everything.
It does.
The fun out of everything.
Those damn kids.
You can't kick them outside in the middle of the day so you can have fun. Now,
no.
Stuck inside, too, yeah.
Yeah, all right. But, I mean, the whole thing with picking up on cues and everybody's on edge, and come on, we just want to get out. There's 8 feet of snow surrounding the house. What do we do?
Well, I mean, if you can get outside, get outside. I mean, even if it means to go for a walk at the kids' rate of speed, let them explore, pay attention to how cold they're getting, know that they're going to be. I remember growing up, we were in and out and in and out. My mom just sat in the front hallway. Two would go out while two were coming in, and she'd take mittens off, and she'd have it all. Warm this up, warm that up.
You know, homes in places, and we're not accustomed to this in Southern California, but homes in places where they routinely get a ton of snow every winter, the front door is elevated from the ground level, generally speaking. Isn't that right? So you can still get out and put on your
think about it, in
tennis
the great,
rackets and walk around.
In the great snow in New York in, what, the 1880s or something, they just climbed out the second-story window.
Huh. Yeah, why not?
You know, they got to walk on the roof for the first time. I mean, so you got to kind of look at what you have, but it can be challenging, and I know parents can be concerned. So the question really is if you're stuck inside, I mean, even here in the Pacific Northwest, the days and days and days and the drudgery of rain and, you know, gray days and rain and slidingness and flooding rivers and all that kind of stuff, what do you do? And I really think the first thing is parents need to be prepared for crappy weather all the time, all year round. And the two basic things you can do to be prepared for crappy weather is, one, make sure you have a good stock of great books from the library. I'm not talking about computer right now. I'm talking about go to the library regularly and have a great stock of especially nonfiction books, because from those kinds of books, they get a lot of information for play.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's number one. Make sure that's a regular thing. We used to go, my kids, year and a half, nonfiction section, they don't have to be able to read. Look at the pictures, engage with them on the pictures, because from that they're going to get stuff to go and experiment with and play. Number
yeah,
one.
That's right. So before you get to number two, so when you're done with the books, do you play a rousing game of thumbs up, seven up?
Duck, duck, goose.
Game. Duck, duck, yeah. Goose, yeah. No. Actually, no, we would go be pioneers, and we'd get the water out, and we'd boil the this, and we'd have boiled water baths, and we'd make our campgrounds, and we'd sleep in it for the night because we're pioneers, and they'd have picnics in the living room. You didn't eat at the table. I mean, you just, it became all-encompassing. You let them lead the play and go as far as they wanted, but it became something that was fun. No, get rid of the drudgery of all
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, gather up all the boxes of Jell-O and toss it in the tub. That could be a lot of fun,
that
right?
That could be a lot. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you don't even really have a choice, right, with kids. They're not going to sit content for very long. They're going to find things to do, and they're going to use their childlike imagination. So
absolutely,
may as well go along for the ride.
Well, Paige, how long can you keep this charade up with your kids? A couple weeks?
I mean, I've kept it up for when we lost, we had a leak in our gas. And so we lost it for a week, and we kept it up for a week. I mean, a full week. I had two little kids, 2 and 4, and we had a ball for about a week. I mean, it was great.
You have to change things up from time to time. Like the play mode changes, right?
Well, the play mode changes, yes. And what you have to understand is their play is a journey. It's not the getting there. So it's not about let's build a Pioneer Campground and it's done. It's that growth and the play and the ebb and the flow lasts throughout the whole period of time, because once we as parents get to done, then we've ruined it. We've messed it up for the kids, and now we've put ourselves in a bad position.
So let's say you've got a 13 and a 14-year-old, maybe 14 and a 15-year-old child in the house. You had that gas leak. Do you just roll up the windows and let the gas go, since there's no other option now for you, right?
No.
Jeez.
No, you know, but I mean, I think most families, I don't know about down there, but here they check out and they go to the nearest hotel. I have to tell you, when my kids were 4 and 6, we moved from a neighborhood and they wanted to chop down trees and dig holes and have horses. And so we moved, you know, 15 miles east out into the rural interface so we could have acreage and do all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Lit wood, you know, wood stove. We bought a piece of total crap property. We took 10 huge dumpster loads of garbage off of it before we could even think about doing anything. Lived in a trailer. Everything was going south because it was a mess. And we eventually built a house and we fixed up. But we had this horrible ice storm that came through here. And it was back in the day when the cell phone towers were going, you'll never lose your cell phone power, you know, get off of landlines and all this kind of stuff. Well, I tell you what, when that ice storm came through here, trees went down everywhere.
Yeah.
You couldn't get around. There was no fuel for a week. There was no cell phones for over a week. There was no landlines. There was no nothing. There was nothing. We had no septic. We had no water because we're on a pump. We have a well, and we have septic system. And everybody in our neighborhood's on septic and stuff. And so you didn't have that. So what do you do? Well,
I don't know. What do you do?
First of all, the neighborhood came out and got together, and everybody found their place, and we cleared these massive trees off of a couple of roads in the neighborhood, our access road, and then the major road over the hill. And everybody's there, stuff for the kids to do. Some people brought out stuff for people to eat.
Start a firewood concession?
Everybody decided who got what. Nobody was hurting everybody. The police at one point came up, saw us doing it, and smiled and said, thank you, and left to go find. We took care of ourselves.
I like that. I like your spirit, and somebody at some point has got to teach the kids how to carve a bear with a chainsaw, right?
Exactly.
Paige Olson, lovely to talk to you as usual. She is the expert on innovative play for kids, and check out her website. There's a link on the links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you. Enjoy the weather.
Yeah, you too.
That's it for hour one of the show. There's more to come, including the latest on that Metrolink crash, the commuter train crash in California, the injuries, and the guy who may have caused the whole mess. Plus, 98% of us eat at a handful of restaurants. We have the list for you to compare, and I think it's pretty accurate. Those stories and a whole lot more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, have doctors finally figured out a way to beat peanut allergies in children? Is it already too late to book your summer vacation at some of the most picturesque spots in America? And we get a visit from the King of Santa Barbara for an update on a commuter nightmare and the dude who caused it. The friends are here, Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks a lot for tuning in. This hour is sponsored by NHL Game Center Live. Sign up to watch hockey live or on demand on your favorite device. Never miss a slap shot, check, or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles and multi-game views. And watch every out-of-market game live on your device for less. Plus, when you get started with NHL Game Center Live for as little as $24.99, you actually support this show, and we thank you for that. Head over to philhewlettandfriends.com right now and click on the NHL Game Center Live link. It's at the top right of the website. You'll see it. Can't miss it. Click on it. Thank you. All right, get things started now. With you, Aaron, of course. And, you know, sometimes these college professors, they get a little wacky on us trying to prove a point. And there's a good example of that, right?
Yeah, there's a professor named Jeff Wilson who just moved out of a dumpster that he lived in for the last year. It was on the campus of Houston Tillotson University in Austin. And I guess, you know, he wanted to show people that you can live happy and be healthy in a very small space the way millions of people live around the world. And I guess it was about 33 square feet is where he stayed for the last year.
So that's a palatial dumpster, 33 square feet.
That's what I thought, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where he's getting a full-on dumpster. And he had things like a mailbox, air conditioner, and
solar
power. Well, you
know, unless square feet. Chris, you know your square feet stuff with the construction and all of that. Are we talking about the cubic feet, maybe?
No, 33 square feet is probably accurate. 33 square really? Feet is 3 by 10. More likely, it's going to be something like 4 by
6, 4 by 7.
Or 5 by 8. Yeah, something like that.
Well, okay, well, that's the kind of dumpster you'd find back in the alleyway,
yes,
right?
So he moved out, and he said he wants to be the ultimate one percenter and create only 1% of the waste of the average home. So,
yeah. All right.
And use 1% of the energy and water.
That's his choice. But is it? Aren't there some laws against living in a dumpster?
I guess if it's for research and study, it's okay.
Like whose dumpster was it, though?
It was on the campus, yeah. So it was probably
They kind of look the other way.
Yeah, the professor let him sleep in the dumpster.
It's
why
professor
not?
Professor Fruitcake. We'll look the other way.
He did have to throw Oscar the Grouch out of his house before he moved in.
Oh, poor Oscar.
Unfortunate.
How can you do that to Oscar?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and another, we hear about these stories every couple of months, it seems like. When people are not thrilled with a certain kind of dog, and in almost every case, it's a service dog. And it's happened again, hasn't it?
Yeah, in Sacramento, apparently a former police officer, he went to dine at this restaurant on Friday, and he brought in his service dog with him, who is a pit bull. Well, I guess the manager of the restaurant asked him to leave because he couldn't provide enough proof that the dog was a service animal, apparently.
Was he worried that the dog was going to just go pit bull on everybody?
I guess, but they said that the dog just had a thick collar and that said stay away on it. So people are not happy about it.
That sounds aggressive, doesn't it?
It does say stay away. But apparently, I guess this officer, he suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder due to a shootout that he was involved in 2013. And
the guy's
dog
just,
helps him.
Generally speaking, the guy's just making people nervous when he walks in a room.
Yeah, he's got a pit bull and then he puts a stay away collar on it. Does it have spikes on it also?
No, just stay away.
And he's a little jumpy, right? You move too fast and he starts reaching for his waistband?
Well, hopefully not. It doesn't say anything like that, but people not happy about it because I think most people want dogs to be able to go wherever.
Yeah. So. And people are not happy about these two high school basketball teams. Tell me about them.
This is kind of funny. In Tennessee, two teams were kicked out of the state's district playoffs because they both tried to lose.
Oh.
Apparently, they both were going to make it to the next round no matter what, and the winner of this game would have to play last year's defending champions. So they both pretty much played horribly to try to be
the team
to lose
against
that
each
lost.
Other.
Yes, and the referee caught on, and both teams got kicked out, and I think both coaches as well are in a little bit of trouble as well.
What was the final score, like 12-9?
55-29.
Oh.
So there was still a score on the board.
One team was better at losing than the other.
Yes, they were the ultimate losers, and now they both are losers, though, because they don't get to go forward in the playoffs. Cheating never is a good thing.
No, it's not. You never prosper. All right, so one of the biggest concerns for parents these days, and if you think about it, there are peanuts everywhere. There's peanut oil. There's peanut dust at baseball games and other places. They make perfume out of peanuts or hair products. I don't know. It seems like you can get peanuts anywhere. You call up the restaurant where you're going to buy your Chinese food, and you ask them what kind of oil do you fry your food in. And you get some kind of wacky answer, and you don't know for sure. So now there's one restaurant you can't buy your food from if your kid has a peanut oil allergy. A lot of kids have this problem. And there does not seem to be a solution for parents who are dealing with this, and for the kids, for that matter, who have to walk around with one of those, what are they called, EpiPins,
mm-hmm.
where they got to jam it into their leg if they start having an anaphylactic reaction. Is that the word? Did I get it right?
EpiPin, and yes, you did.
How'd I do,
well,
doctor? Did I nail it? Okay, good. So now that we've set that up, Chris, are there some updates on this?
There is. There's a National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So if you didn't know that that National Institute was out there, you do now.
Good. Nice
and
to know.
They have a new finding on peanuts and peanut allergies. Here's what they've discovered. Babies that have been given small amounts of peanuts from infancy are 81% less likely to develop peanut allergies later on in life.
Really?
Which is a huge decrease. That's 8 out of 10 children.
I mean, right? They got to get past the point where they're just having liquid, right? They got to start eating their solids or at least pureed peanuts, right?
What they do is they're actually giving them this product called Bamba, which is a puffed corn and peanut butter mixed in together. So it's sort of like a packing peanut. Go figure. But it's made out of a material that you can eat.
And ironically, kids love packing peanuts.
They do.
If you're not careful.
And dogs.
Yeah. You keep them away from it. So the research was done mainly on infants from 4 to 11 months. And they were given the equivalent of 24 peanuts a week for this period of time. And then you have to carry on the process for like the next 4 years. But yeah, you can become almost completely relieved of the symptoms of peanut allergies if you start when they're young. And this has doctors completely changing how they approach allergy prevention, because look at seafood. What about shellfish allergies and all these other ones?
Right.
Probably work in the same manner.
So
maybe have some lobster.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How about that? Mm-hmm. So you just condition yourself against the problem is what you're doing.
And you have to do it at a young age when your immune system is still developing, your body's still developing, everything's still finding its way.
Well, that's good news. But then if your kid's already, 10, 12, 13 years old, there's nothing you can do, right?
I don't know about nothing. There are certain ways to try to reduce the effects, but I don't think that you're going to get the same dramatic results that you do of feeding them peanuts when they're an infant.
Yeah. All right. Just be careful. You come up to somebody's kid, cute little baby, and you start, get the finger under the chin and all that, start baby talking, and you call the baby peanut. And you never know. The parents might be hypersensitive to the fact that their kid has a peanut allergy.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about that? What's the matter with you?
Sure.
Offending parents like that.
I experienced that when I named my dog Parvo. People can be offended by a name.
As you walk into the Chili's tonight for the 75th time this year and think, maybe I should try someplace new, don't bother. Everyone else is just as uncreative as you. New survey found that 98% of people have a small handful of restaurants they pretty much always go to and rarely ever try anywhere else. About 2% of people are adventurous, however, enough to constantly try eating at places they've never been before. I think I'm like that, but I give in because I think my wife is more into a routine. We know this place is good. It's a sure bet. Let's not waste our money and be unsatisfied with our meal. Let's go someplace where we know it's good. I get that, but I kind of like to try new stuff all the time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Now, if you ever go to 3 or 4 different restaurants on a regular basis, you're actually more creative than a lot of people. More than 1 out of 4 people only eat at 2 places. And about 1 in 20 only eat at 1 place. Women are more likely to want to try new restaurants than men, but men go out to eat more often than women.
They just keep going to the same spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that may be the quote-unquote old-school businessman's lunch, right? Going to the same place, get the 2 martinis and the cheese toast, and that counts as your restaurant spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Now, up next on the program, have you seen the video of that commuter train that crashed with a vehicle in Southern California? We're going to find out more about what happened and an update on the injured. And what's happening with all the people who depend on that rail line to get to and from work and home? That's next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything.
When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and friends. Visit our website and go look at the How to Listen page so you can see all the different ways that you can listen to us now. In fact, I think the Web Munchkins have to add a couple. We seem to keep adding ways to listen. Wherever you are, whatever app you have, if you've got an app in Dash, you can listen, you know, with the iHeart or the Tune In or the Aha. Aha.
You can't miss us.
No, you can't, unless you try real hard. All right, so Chris, back to you for a moment. We talked about the peanuts thing. And also, some people are getting more or more used to the idea of legalized marijuana. And it seems to be going state by state. And we have another state now.
We do. The third one, actually. The third state. And that's as of today. Alaska is the third state to legalize recreational marijuana.
And people are going to notice?
What do you mean, people are going to notice?
Well, I mean, well, I guess they've got their big cities. They've got Juneau and
Anchorage.
Anchorage, right. So is this medicinal or recreational?
This is recreational.
Wow.
So there's several states that have approved medicinal use, and this will be the third state that has approved recreational use. The measure was approved back in November. However, it just now kicks in today. It allows adults 21 and over to possess.
Possess?
Yeah, let's try possess.
Yeah.
An ounce of pot and up to six plants per person. And the regulation.
Six plants, is that more than Colorado?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know what their regulations are, but I'm sure it's plenty for an individual to have six plants that produce marijuana.
Yeah.
The regulations on sales are still being worked out, and smoking in public is illegal, and officers are expected to strictly enforce it. That's why the celebration scheduled for today in Anchorage has been canceled.
Yeah.
Expecting a lot of fines out of that one.
Gotcha. Hey, did you watch the Oscars, the Academy Awards? Sunday?
I did most of it.
You did? I was
most
watching to see if Manny the movie guy was right on. And with his picks, and he was doing well. He was 6-for-7, and then all the, the wheels fell off the wagon in a hurry. And so I think he got about 50% right. But we'll talk to him later in the week. But in the meantime, they did that in memoriam, which they do every year to remember those in the industry who died. And there was an interesting omission.
Yes, they did not have Joan Rivers included in this. And I guess, you know, not necessarily a movie star, but people were saying she was the one person who interviewed everybody on the red carpet at events like the Academy Awards and, you know, Golden Globes, things like that. So people were a little upset that she wasn't there. And the Academy did say she is included in their in memoriam gallery on the website, Oscar.com, but she wasn't featured in the segment on the show because there were just so many worthy people.
Yeah.
And her daughter said, Melissa said, it would have been nice, especially considering the impact she had on the awards season. But they are very overwhelmed by the support and love since her mom's passing.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's,
and it almost seemed arbitrary as to how long they stayed on the shot of the person who died. A couple, Robin Williams and a couple other people got a longer look.
Yes.
But they started rifling through them in a hurry there for a while. So I wonder how long they would have stayed on Joan's face had they shown her.
I don't know. I mean, I think I am a little surprised, though.
I believe she had a couple of cameos in a handful of movies as well.
Yeah, right.
Deserved to be there.
Every big city's got its commuter trains. In Southern California, we have something called the Metrolink, which gets you in and out of L.A. and into the Ventura County area, and perhaps farther north than that. I'm not exactly sure. I've never taken the Metrolink, to be honest with you, but there was a horrible crash that sent a bunch of people to the hospital, a couple of critical injuries there. Is that right, Aaron?
Yeah, there's four they're saying right now that are critical.
So. All right. So we want to get a better handle on what's happening and the nightmare for commuters that has followed all this. Joining us live is KEYTKCOYKKFX, senior reporter, the king of Santa Barbara, John Palminteri. John, we hate to bring you on just because a whole bunch of people got hurt, but hey, them's the breaks.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, as always. The this train, Metrolink, is a little different than the Amtrak, as we know, and it's definitely a commuter train, but it does have residual impacts on not only the Amtrak rail system, but also the Union Pacific service as well.
How far north does it go, John?
I'll follow that. Well, Metrolink goes up to about the Oxnard area. Oxnard and Camarillo is about the end of the line. Does not come up to Santa Barbara.
Right, but it's that area is more or less kind of a midway point between L.A. and Santa Barbara.
That's right, and I think Oxnard is the first place you can pick it up if you're going south. But they use the same tracks. So when there's an issue, it affects all the commuters, and right now that's what's going on. I was down at the Santa Barbara train station earlier in the day, and there were people scratching their head and talking to the staff and trying to figure out. It was pretty fresh at that time, and they do a couple of things, and they've learned this through earthquakes, weather, you know, flooding, and other closures of the tracks around here. They do a bus bridge, busing people around the spot that's not functional, and connecting them where they can to trains they hopefully have on the other side. It's not the easiest thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare regardless, but you've got to make it happen. Hey, John, just a quick backgrounder for folks who don't know. What happened with the train and the crash and all of that?
So about just before 6 a.m. this morning in the 5 o'clock hour, a large truck pulling a trailer in the farmlands of Oxnard at 5th Street, which is a agricultural rural zone, was on the tracks and was hit by a Metrolink train heading towards eventually Los Angeles. It had five cars on it. One stayed upright in the track, and the other four were off the tracks. A couple were on their side, and there was a massive response. And as the staff has said, fortunately, nobody died, but there's four critical. And I think the last count was 12 minor injuries and 12 moderate injuries, and then some more were added after that.
John, is it true that the guy in the truck actually took off running after the crash or tried to get away?
It's a little fuzzy to understand what his behavior was. He was not in the truck when it was hit, but he was located by an Oxnard police officer nearby on Rice Road and was taken, they say, into custody. And, of course, that raises a lot of questions about why he fled. He might have fled because he wrecked the truck and he was lucky to get out alive and didn't know what to do. He might have been scared. There's a lot of reasons. It's not, and at times you see this with car accidents now. Some people flee for a variety of reasons.
Sure.
They're intoxicated or unlicensed or some other reasons. And I'm not making any speculation, but these are reasons why people run.
John, I also read that he was taken to the hospital with injuries not related to the train wreck. Is that true as well?
I've not heard that confirmed yet. But definitely, if anything in this picture, thank goodness that the Oxnard police came upon this man on a cell phone looking, I believe they said he definitely looked puzzled or bewildered or was not in the right frame of mind, and they talked to him, and they put two and two together very fast. That was a great move on their part to be able to get that piece to this incident.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, if he took off and they couldn't find him, I mean, that's something. Yeah. You're actually in trouble for leaving the scene of a crash, right?
Yeah, and this one, they thought it might have been a fatality because they couldn't find the driver, but it also this truck trailer was split in two, if you've seen the aerials. Half of it was burning at the crossing, and the other half was, down a ways in pieces.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, it's one of those stories that's hit the TV news all over the country, I guess.
Yeah, they had the helicopters up as soon as daylight hit the scene, and there was a lot of people a few people on the ground that had their phones going during the ball of flames. I do want to say one thing. The Pacific Surfliner, which is very well known in Southern California.
Amtrak.
A train on Amtrak, the Surfliner. It's one of the busier lines in the country. It goes in this area. One of them goes from San Luis Obispo to San Diego, and it was parked at the Santa Barbara station, and they converted that to a northbound train, got whoever they could that needed to go north that was you know, disheveled by all of this, either by bus or other means, put them on this train, and they sent it north. So they got on a train, and they could continue to go north. And that was a good move. Amtrak is trying real hard to reshuffle the deck here and make this work for the passengers. But they only have so many trains in so many places, and it's hard to move a train.
Yeah.
Not like moving an airplane.
Stepping up for sure, and it's good to hear. All right, we'll continue to follow this story. And, John, thanks as always for your coverage. He's the king of Santa Barbara, John Palmateri, senior reporter at every darn TV station in Santa Barbara. Thank you, sir.
The power of three.
There you go. And we have more up ahead. In fact, it's time to start thinking about summer travel. I hate to have that story follow a train wreck, but just the same, it's the fact that the U.S. national parks are always a favorite destination. But is it already too late to book your reservation to even get into one of those parks? Our travel guy helps you out next, and he joins us live right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. It's the head cold edition of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Plodding along, though, I must say I'm enjoying it very much.
There's a rich texture to your voice, I think, when you have a head cold. Adds a little vibrato.
The late Casey Kasem used to say, when it comes to being the voice on a commercial, voiceovers, as we say in the business, said if you wake up with a cold, go ahead and go to the gig because the texture in your voice, that you may never be able to achieve that again. It may just be perfect for the role.
When I've gotten colds and I have that raspy, that's when I get told, wow, you sound so sexy. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was sick all the time then. No.
There you go. Well, it's a sick show today, and let's move along because we're thinking about summer travel already. I mean, it's springtime, and why not start thinking about it? Has spring started yet, or is that in March?
Spring springs in March.
Does it? Around March 18th or so.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. All right. So just the same, it would be prudent to start thinking about your summer vacation because everybody else is thinking about it, and you've got to book your hotel and get your tickets into the some of the places that you want to see. And so our travel guy, Gary Warner, joins us live. Gary, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
So we're talking about good, doing all right, well as I can be. The U.S. national parks, there are a lot of beautiful ones. We're talking about Yosemite, Yellowstone, Grand Canyon. You'll probably enlighten us to some of the others. But you need tickets. You need to plan well in advance to have a full holiday when you're visiting some of these places. Isn't that right?
You certainly do. These are incredibly popular spots. The statistics came out last week for 2014, and it was a record-breaking year. 292.8 million people visited parts of the National Park Service, which includes the national parks and some of the recreation areas like Golden Gate Recreation Area up in San Francisco. So
that was in 1 year?
In 1 year.
Do you say 298
million? 292.8
million. That's like 89% of the U.S. population.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so that's, well, those are visits. So I guess some people went multiple times and some of us didn't go at all.
Oh,
but,
all right.
But that record goes back to that record goes back to 1999. So, I mean, you know, it's really a swing around on this thing.
Yeah.
The parks are incredibly
But so what's the thing? You do have to buy a pass. You have to go up.
Right.
What you could buy them online, or do you have to go to that little kiosk at the entrance?
You can get them online, and sometimes, depending on the limitations of getting into the specific park, you can get them at the kiosk. Although some of the more popular parks, like Yosemite, are capacity controlled during key periods, and if you don't have a reservation at one of the campsites or one of the hotels, sometimes you can get turned away. So here's how popular Yosemite is. Even though it's the number three park, 3.9 million people last year, it's one of only four areas within the National Park Service where you can make reservations up to a year in advance for campgrounds.
So go ahead.
Yeah, basically, you know, these places book up well ahead of time. If you want to go to Yosemite this summer, you're going to be either out of luck Or the other thing is you go and you look for cancellations closer to the time when you might go up.
Can't you just get like a hotel down the street and kind of, you know, sneak your way into the park?
Just meander in there.
Well, no, actually they don't, because, you know, sometimes you have to have a day pass and things like that. They try to get as many people in as possible.
So the Rangers are walking around and they're looking for your papers, right?
Well, plus the thing that will happen in a place like Yosemite is they may make you park your car out in the middle of Nowheresville near the gates and then take these little trams in. And that can kind of pinch your experience to a degree, but you don't want bumper to bumper traffic either. Sometimes Yosemite seems like, you know, they get smog there in the summer.
Yeah. How many can they accommodate there, Gary? Like inside the park, making reservations, is it tens of thousands of people?
Well, I'm not sure the exact amounts. The statistic they always throw out is that basically Yosemite Valley gets 95% of the visits, and yet makes up only 5% of Yosemite National Park.
Wow.
So it's like this bowl that fills up, whereas the rest of the area up by Tuolumne Meadows and other spots down on the rivers, people aren't going there. But
so, Yosemite's number three. Does that mean that Yellowstone and Grand Canyon are the other two spots?
Well, no. Number one is Great Smoky Mountains back east. Now, part of that is because it has highways that crisscross it, so visits get counted. They had 10.1 million visitors, which is twice as much as number two, which was Grand Canyon.
Okay.
But part of that, I've been out there, is, you know, you just have to get across the park to get to some of their spot. Grand Canyon's number two, then Yosemite, then Yellowstone, then Rocky Mountain, Olympic, Zion, Grand Teton, Acadia, which is out in Maine, beautiful spot, and then Glacier National Park.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right, and Glacier, you'd think it'd be up there because of all the boats that go around there.
Well, Glacier's a great spot. I love Glacier because it abuts the Waterton Lakes National Park, the Canadian National Park. So you can have kind of a twofer there and go over and check out the Canadian side too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But one of the things I want to kind of throw out there is that if you're already a little late on getting your spots in the national parks, we have one of the best state park systems in the country.
Now, California, when you
California
say
California does.
Yeah.
280 units, and it's 151 years old. Now, the last couple of years, there's been a lot of financial problems with these parks, but that's sort of stabilized out. These are some great spots to go visit, particularly up in the areas of the Redwoods, where there's a lot of small state parks that you can visit that go back to the days of the private, the millionaires who would set aside a land grant for people to go visit, and then they've brought into the state.
So what are you talking about, like the Sequoias?
No, I'm talking more like up in the. I'm talking more up off of 101 up towards Garberville, Eureka, that area.
Oh, way up north.
Yeah, way up north. But because some of the oldest, before there were state parks and all, there were these millionaires would go and set aside certain groves, and they'd get them named after themselves. And it might be, 17 acres, but basically that area wouldn't be logged. And that area was very heavily logged and right up until the 1990s.
I'll tell you a national park in California that I think, I don't know if it gets ignored, but it's worth checking into. And at different times of the year, after the rains, you get all kinds of flowers. But just the same, Joshua Tree National Park, as desolate as it may seem, because it's more or less in the middle of a desert, it's the most peculiar place you'll ever see, because there are all these rocks that look like they were just piled there. Like maybe there was a giant ocean right in the middle of that desert some million years ago. Or maybe aliens dropped those rocks and just set them up in these weird positions everywhere you look. And then you have the beautiful Joshua trees and all the flowers if you come at the right time of the year.
It's a great spot.
And you get to just drive through there, and you look like scoot over, let the kids drive the car if you want.
Yeah.
The Rangers aren't going to know the difference. And you can stop and take pictures on these rocks and just have a great time. And in fact, you can even just pull over and watch the stars at night and sleep out there in the middle of the park. It's pretty cool.
You know, in talking to my European friends, the two places that always come up are Joshua Tree National Park. They want to go there because the desert and the open spaces is something different for them. And then Monument Valley, which is actually not a national park. It would be a national park, except that it's in the Navajo reservation. Gorgeous spot. But again, those are the two spots where you'll go and you'll see wall-to-wall Germans and Death Valley.
There's nothing like wall to wall Germans.
Nothing like wall to wall Germans. Yeah. They love to go on tour.
Yeah,
luckily it's more peaceful.
The songs at the campfire are quite a bit different.
Yeah, is probably a no brainer. But of the top state parks, Old Town San Diego is number one at 4.4 million.
Wow, really?
Yep. And then Sonoma is number two, Sonoma State Park. But after that, it's pretty much that string of state beaches that goes down from Orange County to San Diego County. You've got Cardiff, San Onofre, Huntington Beach, Bolsa Chica, yeah. Crystal Cove, Carlsbad.
No, that's no fair because everybody in urban Southern California heads to the beach, and so that's no doubt that that's why it's going to be packed all the time.
But yeah,
you want to see what beaches really look like, then you go way up in your Eureka part of California.
Yeah.
And, you look at the coast up there with the cliffs and the and it's practically inhabitable. You don't want to lay out there in your bathing suit on those beaches.
Right. But it's not quite the Beach Boys sort of spot. Although Santa Cruz, claims to be the original surf city. They have the Cold Water Classic surfing contest up there. It's very cold water, but people go out in it and they surf it and they swim in it. And that's their life. Hey, The thing I just want to tell people is, plan ahead as much as you can and try to do it a little bit more off-season-y. Early June, late August, rather than smack in the middle of July. And certainly a lot of these parks, certainly like Joshua Tree, obviously, unless you're a heat freak, you're not going to go out to Joshua Tree in the middle of summer. That's a place to go in the spring,
right?
Quite frankly. And the winter's also gorgeous. To see these cactus with snow on them is just a...
It is something else.
Yeah, it's something else.
Well, we're looking forward to the summer for sure, and thank you for the glimpse into this and giving us the leg up on and getting something booked in a hurry.
Let me throw one thing out there. Yes. Website recreation.gov has a lot of information about campsites throughout the United States in the national parks, and also we'll send you to the hotels like the Awani and things like that are often run by private organizations through a contract.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again. What?
The first day of spring is March 20th, and I know that because it's my birthday.
Oh,
there you go.
We'll remember that.
You got it, guys.
I think. Okay, thanks. Gary, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Gary, our travel guy. All right, up next on the program, who are you going to leave your money for when you die? Huh? Wait until you hear who this couple left their fortune for, and that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
24-year-old guy drank some Bud Light at a bar in Florida last week, then tried to pay his $10 tab with a rock. When the bartender wouldn't accept it, he ran out, grabbed a briefcase, and implied there was a bomb inside it. He was arrested for bomb threats, hoax weapons, and mass destruction and theft. Tried to pay for his beer with a rock.
Well, what kind of rock are we talking about here?
You think a drunk guy would make the argument, there was a time when people used to trade rocks and beads and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
Who's to say that that this piece of paper is worth any more than this rock? You think he was making that case?
It sounds like a drunken argument for sure.
Yeah.
I found this rock in the river. I polished it off.
Yeah. Yeah, right. He polished off too many beers, too. All right. So there's this couple, Aaron, that you want to tell us about. They put together a will. Because they want somebody to take care of their inheritance.
Yes, they are from India, and they say they owe their wealth and success to their pet monkey. Chunmun, it sounds like. And they say if they die before he does, they want all of their fortune to go to him. They already have a trust fund set up for him. And they say he's like a son to them. So
what kind of monkey is that?
It's a macaque. Is that how you say it?
Macaque?
Macaque.
Macaque. Yeah,
that's how you say it.
A macaque.
All right.
A long-tailed macaque. And he's like their son. And they can live up to 40 years, so he could outlive them. So they want to make sure.
What's he
going to
do with all that cash?
Lots of bananas,
yeah.
Maybe. I guess they actually already got him a girlfriend, so that he doesn't need to find.
Does it say why they owe their wealth to this monkey?
Apparently, their businesses were started once they got this monkey, it sounds like. And
so he's a good luck monkey.
They've named all of their businesses after the monkey. So I guess they owe their fortune to Chunmun. Chunmun.
Yeah, how about that?
Yep.
Here's a cop who's thinking on his feet, or on his arm for that matter. He's in South Dakota. He posed as an underage girl last year. So this is a young-looking cop, right? Okay.
Okay.
He posed as an underage girl, follow me here, to bust a predator. When the guy asked for a nude photo, the cop took a photo of his bent arm so it kind of looked like lady parts. You know what,
you know
what I'm talking about? And the guy responded with his own nude photo and then was arrested.
Was able to bust him after that.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? Thinking
That's
on his,
just strange.
Thinking on
I
his.
How about that?
Yeah.
A guy working for law enforcement that looks like he could be a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah. Or at least his arm does.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, you know what else is weird? Everybody's talking. It seems like every couple of weeks we get some new story that raises our hopes for football to come to Southern California. Mm-hmm. And then we find out, it was just a leverage to get a new stadium built in their own city. But, Chris, what a wild announcement out of the city of Carson, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, the last couple of days. Not one, but two teams at one futuristic stadium yet to be built.
Yeah, and not just any two teams, but really bitter rivals in the AFC. Over in Carson, they're proposing the new Los Angeles Stadium, and it's going to host both the Raiders and the Chargers if this goes through. It's a $1.7 billion stadium.
Yeah.
Thing is state-of-the-art. They keep putting out new pictures because it is one of those things where once you grab people's attention, you want to keep feeding them,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
so you can build up the excitement for it. And especially in Carson, they're very excited. The mayor over there is shot out of
Mayor
a cannon.
Jim Deere, by the way.
And so, but it brings up the question, is this for real? I think for Carson it is. They're doing everything they can to build up.
They're going to get their hopes up.
The excitement, right. But over in San Diego, over in Oakland, even in St. Louis, it does sound more like a ploy to get their cities to help pitch in to build new stadiums.
Was the husband in the 101 Dalmatians, was his name Jim Deere? Because I seem to remember the mother.
Jim Darling, I think.
Jim Darling.
And that's
Jim
Lady in the Tramp.
Darling.
That's Lady in the Tramp.
That's Lady.
Yeah,
was
you're
it?
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
So is the wife
movie.
Would say, Jim Darling.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, not Jim Deere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It reminds me
of a tractor.
One of the other.
That's John Deere.
I know.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, we go from... All right, all these speculations about whether we're going to have a team. And now the possibility is we'll have three teams because the guy that owns the Rams bought all that property in Inglewood, California, another suburb of L.A., and where there used to be the Hollywood Park racetrack, a horse racing track. And there are all these stories that he's going to build a stadium there.
And you know what's, I think, the worst part of this? If it doesn't happen, I've met some, I did a different story. I've met a bunch of Rams fans, and they've been gung-ho bringing the Rams back here. And they are going to be so heartbroken if this doesn't happen. And that's what I find so sad about all of this, is people are getting very excited and think we're getting football. And then if none of them come, I mean, that's horrible.
We've been this way
horrible.
For 20 years.
Yeah.
But see, in the Carson thing, then you have a choice. Are you a Raiders fan or a Chargers fan? And who will survive in the parking lot after the game? And then the other thing is, I grew up a Rams fan. I divorced myself from football when all the teams left. So I would love to see the Rams return before I go.
And that's the highest likelihood, I would think. I feel like three teams in L.A. would sort of oversaturate the market. Yeah. It'd definitely burn people out.
And then the downtown city of L.A., they want to build a stadium next to Staples Center where the Lakers and the Kings and the Clippers all play. And then also in the city of industry in, again, another Southern California suburb, a gentleman by the name of Ed Roski owns a whole bunch of empty land out there and has talked about building a stadium and luring. And then the old... the other city up the 605, I forget what it's called, where Davis from the Raiders originally went and had that meeting, and he sat down, they gave him a $1 million check, he said, thank you, see you later. What is that, Irwindale?
Yeah, that's Irwindale. That's one of the prospects. Also, don't forget about over there by Pomona, over there to the 57, 210, 10 of interchange right there.
Well, isn't that Ed Roski's?
Oh, maybe that is. Yeah. That's the spot you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one, City of Industry.
Well, if we don't get a team, I will be sad.
Yeah. All right. Well, you can always hide if you're sad.
Hide your face.
Under the...
The face blanket.
Yes, of course.
Yes, you know, we had the Snuggie, which was the body blanket that you wear. Well, now there is the face blanket.
What in the world is the face
blanket?
It
is a hideous, hideous thing, I must say. It's like a little mini blanket that has a hole cut out for your mouth so you can breathe.
Can you see?
No, you cannot see. There's no eye. It's not like a ghost where you have the holes for the eyes and the mouth. Oh, no, just for the mouth.
Is that a little claustrophobic?
I would think so.
I suppose if you're a mouth breather, it works fine. But
yeah, but apparently it is an actual product, and you can buy it for $9.99, and it comes in three different colors.
$9.99.
Hide your face in shame after this, because if you wear it, you're going to not want anyone to see you. I guarantee.
What it's for, is to hide the face.
Does it come in spectacular and cuddly colors?
Blue, yellow, and red.
Just flat? No.
Nothing decorative yet.
No,
like,
designs?
If they come like with leopard print, maybe I'll think about it. But
really?
Until then, no.
No. In what scenario would you wear the face blanket? Just when you're sleeping?
No, because I feel like you could suffocate if the mouth hole like goes the wrong way.
Yeah.
You could suffocate in this thing.
And
so
just
I don't know.
Think if your roommates are pranksters and you have the face blanket on. You can't see them coming.
No, you cannot. That could go very horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Horribly wrong.
Yeah, I can't picture any scenario where I would wear the face blanket.
Yeah, okay. Now, I could see plenty of scenarios. All these idiots who try to make viral videos constantly. There will be some guy sleeping in a face blanket who will light a cigar. And his face blanket will catch fire.
Yeah, just a cigar sticking out of the slit in the face blanket?
Yeah.
Exactly. He falls asleep with it?
Uh-huh.
Then it falls down.
Or that big... that
was wrong, too.
That stogie red ash at the end of it just falls off and lands on the blanket, and it's made of acetate or polyester, whatever, and it melts onto his face.
Oh. Bam. Viral video.
Exactly.
And a lawsuit.
I'd watch that over and over again. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're on Twitter at Faf Show, on Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, for Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.